Are you with the crowd that wants to demolish Southern statues and burn Southern flags after praying for answers in the Temple of St. Lincoln?
We killed tens of thousands of American citizens, maybe hundreds of thousands, with no due process whatever in the Civil War, and it was the right thing to do.
Whoa! I thought you were one of the good guys. Maybe you should start going to church every day instead. Mike Church, that is.
It's good! It's good! It's good to see you all in church.
It's good to see you too, here on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Wordsworth, Romney, field investigation finding obsolescence. Do you know why you're here, Mr. Wordsworth?
Yes, sir.
I'd ask you to speak up a little, if you will.
Yes, sir, I know why I'm here.
You've been under investigation, Mr. Wordsworth, for the mandatory period of 1 year and 11 months. You're found to be obsolete. The purpose of this hearing is to make a finding in the matter and make a sentence accordingly. Do you understand that?
Yes, I understand that.
Your occupation, Mr. Wordsworth?
A librarian, sir.
A what?
A librarian, sir.
Has this man had counsel?
Yes, sir, he has.
Are you sure he knows his rights?
He's been given orientation, sir.
Mr. Wordsworth, I'm told that you've had counsel. Stand back in the light, Mr. Wordsworth! I'm told you've had counsel and been given orientation, Mr. Wordsworth, but I'm still not sure in my own mind that you understand the purpose of this hearing. The field investigators in your sector have classified you as obsolete. This finding carries with it serious implications. Do you understand that, Mr. Wordsworth? Now I ask you again, your occupation?
I am a librarian, sir. That is my occupation. That is my profession. If you people choose to call that obsolete...
Request clarification of the term?
Yes, the term, Mr. Wordsworth, you people, you make reference to the state?
I make reference to the state.
And you persist in declaring your occupation as being that of a librarian, is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
A librarian, having to do with books.
Yes, sir, books.
Since there are no more books, Mr. Wordsworth, there are no more libraries. And, of course, it follows that there is very little call for the services of a librarian. Case in point, a minister. A minister would tell us that his function is that of preaching the word of God. And, of course, it follows that since the state has proven that there is no God, that would make the function of a minister somewhat academic as well.
There is a God.
You are in error, Mr. Wordsworth. There is no God. The state has proven that there is no God!
You cannot erase God with an edict.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie. No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
Church show here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Street, from radio size speakers on a Wisdom Wednesday. Asking you to take 8 weeks of daily doses of the Founding Fathers Red Pill, sprinkle with a few drops of holy water. Better add a few more, actually. Unplug the matrix cable from the back of your head. Claim your philosophia. Put any sinking skills. Become members of the self-governing people of these United States. Not a job. It's a way of life. You want to tip your talk host tender. The dog with the empty bowl in his mouth graphic is now in the chat room at MikeChurch.com along with the tip your host link. You can tip in any amount, any in any amount you wish. We will be live at the St. Benedict Center with Brother Andre Marie and Sister Maria Philomena Friday and Saturday for the live broadcast of the St. Benedict Center Conference. And what a great lineup of speakers beginning at about 10:15 Eastern time. It's 9:15 a.m. Friday morning. That means I will actually cut Free Phone Friday off at 9 at the predestined time constraint, the three-hour show, you know, the one I'm supposed to do. And then we'll have speakers all day long, including Sister Maria Philomena. If you've never heard Sister Maria Philomena, she's been a guest on the Reconquest show with Brother Andre, at least a dozen times or so. She's a brilliant speaker, and she's a very holy woman. You're going to get a lot out of that. We'll get you the complete speaker lineup. But all you'll have to do is go to the app, download the app, and then click the St. Benedict Center Conference. And under that, there will be links, and one of them will be the listen link, which you can avail yourself of, free of charge, don't cost nothing. And then the one of the other ones will be, of course, you can make a donation to your kind and benevolent host. You can go and shop for Philosophia Perenne stuff in the Catholicism.org store, Brother Andre Marie. Find out more about how to download the lectures as videos or as audio clips and much more. So we'll do that coverage all day Saturday. I believe the last speaker is 7, or Friday rather, 7 p.m. Central Eastern. That's 6 Central. And then Saturday morning we'll begin at around 9, I want to say. And then there's a break for lunch, and then there's an afternoon intermission, and the final speaker traditionally is Joe Doyle, who is one of the most brilliant historians that you'll ever hear. And since the subject this year is Fatima, I'm sure that Joe Doyle will add some historical insight and brilliance to the finale, which is always it's always fantastic. So you're gonna you have a great, great lineup of speakers, a great chance to improve your knowledge. You might even obtain some holiness through this. And if you're just curious about these things, well, listen in. You know, Maggie O'Connell's been telling me of lately here on the Crusade Channel that our friends who are Methodists and even Jews, I don't say even Jews to knock, I say even Jews, have actually bought holy rosaries, handmade ones, from the Founders Trading Post, which we have. Beautiful handmade ones. Right here in Louisiana they're made. And are asking for the instructions on how to pray them. So the cult of Our Lady, even amongst those who aren't Catholics, is spreading. And that's always a good thing. It's something to be thankful for. And it's something that we do here on the Crusade Channel because it's the right thing to do, which is why we imported those prayer cards from Poland and had them made that you can get in the Founders Trading Post at MikeChurch.com/prayer. Check them out today. Our Lady of Lejaska, Our Lady Shastahoe, and Our Lady Immaculate, the set of three you can buy, or you can buy them individually in any quantity. And yes, we can mail ship them to you. I was expecting to sell 10, 20,000 of those cards. I told David Simpson when I first saw him, we can fund the whole operation. Our problems, our worries are over. Our troubles are over, dude. Not quite yet, but MikeChurch.com/prayer. Oh, and the flash sale of the day is the God Planned My Parenthood t-shirt for $4.99. Short of me and Maggie O'Connell actually taking the empty dog bowl and going and banging people's door and saying, please take one of these off our hands. I know, I guess it's embarrassing to wear one that God planned my parenthood, but please, Mitter t-shirt wearer, just take it. Flash sale of the day, God planned my parenthood t-shirt, $4.99. Tyler Durden at ZeroHedge.com has this. Mass shootings in military entertainment complex as culture of violence turns deadly. Now, the guy that sent me this story sent it to me in a very unique cover letter, if you will. And by the by, Robert Sengenis will be with us in just a moment. Well, then we'll talk a little bit about his latest article about the third secret of Fatima and what it's always what it's really all about. And some of the insight into the true meaning of it, since next Friday is the Miracle of the Sun anniversary. By the by, so let me see if I understand this. I'm talking to you, right there, Facebook Live viewer. I'm talking to you. Let me see if I understand this. So on Monday and yesterday, of the over 1,200 people that claim to have viewed, or that Facebook says viewed, this live video, here's how many of you are not Founders Pass members and turned me down. You turned the dude down when I offered you free 30-day access to my website. We're the only independent radio broadcasting, 24-hour day, 7-day a week, talk radio station and network is located. You couldn't take 12 seconds out of your day to send me an email, kingdude@mikechurch.com, and say, Mike, I'll take you up on that free 30-day offer. I didn't ask for your credit card. I asked for your name and your email address and the will to, you know, check out our site. I mean, you're all addicted up in there on SiriusXM. Oh, they got big, tall buildings and satellites. Oh, little pipsqueak crusade channel. Well, oh, it's you, Mike, and your stupid newscast. Really, guys? 1,200 of you told me no. I take great umbrage to that. Christopher takes great umbrage today. So you're saying what? Our product's not good enough for you? It's not worth your 15 seconds to chunk out a little puny email? KingDude@MikeChurch.com. You know, we don't just hang out here on Facebook Live for our health because, you know, we're trained cage monkeys in this glass thing that I'm supposed to perform for you. What? I amuse you? What, I amuse you? What is so funny about me? This is serious business here. Without listener support from people like you, without you telling mainstream media to go and actually becoming a member, little independent radio stations like this one can't survive. Happy now. Oh, but Mike, I got my Octane on SiriusXM. Oh, well, gosh, I hope Ozzy's Boneyard is really rocking today. Because you never heard those songs before, right? Never. We got to start getting up in people's grill and demanding. You want to watch this on Facebook Live? We're happy to give it to you. You can actually listen to the free preview anytime you want of this show on the app or on the site for the most part. Why won't you join us? You'll give your credit card number and all that information to some of the biggest shysters, demonic shysters on the planet. But the Little Crusade Channel and the King Dude said, hey, just a name and an email address. I'll sign you up for 30 days free. Didn't ask for your credit card. What do we get?
0.0.
This aggression will not stand, man. No one else is going to do it for you. Send the email today. KINGDUDE@MikeChurch.com. Gauntlet hath been laid. Otherwise, you're contributing to all of this media industrial complex that you love to go on this Facebook and rail against. When staring right in front of you, 1,200 of you said no, Mike. I say screw you and independent media. I want corporate schlock served up here so I can be a groveling sheep. What a great statement that is, hmm? Got a chance, folks. I can't make them do it. Got a chance. Make a difference. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. That email address, again, kingdude@mikechurch.com. Before I go to Robertson Genis here and talk a little bit about the secret of Fatima, and his latest offering here. I want to go back and just set the table for the discussion afterwards. What motivated the madman in Las Vegas? Now, if you're just listening to this, I'm going to tell you something that no one else will. You know how I know this? Because I Google searched it just an hour ago, and I got 0.0. I'm going to tell you something you're not going to hear anywhere else. The secular media industrial complex and all of your heroes on Fox News and the SiriusXM Patriot Channel and everywhere else cannot explain this. You know why? Because there is not a secular explanation for it. It's going to defy them, and they can look for it from now until the end of actual time, which will come. There is no secular explanation coming. That now, there is, I can and have provided the explanation. It's not conspiracy theory. I deal in facts like I do in my documentaries in U.S. history. The evidence and the evidentiary trail says that Stephen Paddock committed a premeditated act of diabolical, underscore that word, diabolical murder. Then cashed in on the deal that he had made with Beelzebub himself. He ensured his exit strategy, which was, all right, I'll give you all these years of millions of dollars of wealth, millions of dollars of access. I'll give you all this flying all over the world, living the Hugh Hefner hedonistic lifestyle, doing all those things. One day I'm going to come to collect that debt, just like the devil went down to Georgia. Well, the debt was paid Sunday night. Mr. Church, that's it. Now you sound like Alex Jones again. You're crazy. Art, when did the Art Bell show begin? What does the evidence tell you? That's what the evidence tells me. Of course, I deal with the reality that there are angels and there are demons. There are possessions, there are obsessions, and there are infestations. Can angels move matter? Can they manipulate it? You better believe they can. What's a demon? A fallen angel. Can they manipulate matter? Oh, yeah. Can they manipulate men? Yeah. But go ahead. Look at the antidepressant drugs that the guy was taking, or look at, he tripped over a threshold or whatever. I've just provided as clear and as logical of an explanation for this as anyone else ever will. And I think that the evidence, including that girl on videotape that said, came into the crowd, this man and this woman, who looked almost identical, there's a clue, and said 45 minutes before the shooting, you're all going to die. Oh, but let's just, have you noticed that no one else has repeated that? It's not even part of the news cycle any longer. It is on this show because it's a clue, and it's physical evidence. I can show you that videotape. What do you have for, Xanax made him do it. Sure it did. Fill the email out. Send it to me. Take the 30 days free. It's free. Don't cost nothing. My email address, kingdude@mikechurch.com. Or just, continue getting your little libertarian explanation from all the usual suspects from the talk radio mafia. Go ahead. Let me go to the Dude Maker hotline here and say hello to our old friend, my co-host on a three-part series called Galileo Was Wrong, the producer of a DVD series that you can find on the World Wide Web, Galileo Was Wrong, which explains why Galileo was wrong. Robertson Janis is on the Dude Maker hotline with us here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Robertson Janis, my friend, how are you?
Good, Mike. Nice to be had.
I'm still laughing at first email that you sent me when you said that you're not your rank, that you are not the usual rank-and-file conservative. Spelled out my Ted Cruz pronunciation for conservative.
Wait a minute, you'll have to repeat that. I didn't get a word of that.
But you are a conservative.
Oh, yeah. Conservative.
I was telling the audience earlier that we have this three-part series that you and I talked about 2 years ago called Galileo Was Wrong. And as I just mentioned, you had the DVD series, Galileo Was Wrong. And I noticed, I didn't tell the audience this, but I noticed because I'm on your email chain, I noticed that this is an issue, and I kind of wanted to talk about this after Fatima, but this is an issue that you deal with quite frequently here. These wars over helio and geocentrism continue apace, don't they?
They certainly do. I think we've hit a nerve, that's why. And there's a whole climate now, and you know, you're part of it, Mike. There's a whole climate now where we don't know who to trust anymore. And like you said, if you want to go to the mainstream media to get your news, you're going to be, pleasantly deceived. And you just don't know what the truth is anymore. So we've come along in a niche where people are questioning not only politics, but they're questioning science, because science is so filled with all kinds of extravagant claims that they can't prove. And so, we do scratch where they itch at this point in time.
All right, we'll come back and talk about this in a little bit. Now, you wrote a review of On the Third Secret of Fatima, authored by Kevin J. Simmons. And in your email to me, you say you're going to be talking about this at a conference, I guess, where Chris Ferrara is also going to be talking about this.
No, Chris is actually doing that conference. Wanted to tell you that it was a hot topic now, and Chris is covering it, this AOTM meeting that they have in Minneapolis. And then my article will come out, I think, in a couple days in Culture Wars. And so we were just trying to coincide those releases with your interview of me.
So what is the, now, On the Third Secret of Fatima, what does Simmons say in his book that hasn't already been said?
Well, I'll answer that question in about 30 seconds, but what I want to do is dovetail off of what you just said about the shootings in Las Vegas.
Okay.
You were raising the question, where is this coming from? And your answer was, it's diabolical. And that, of course, is something you'll never hear on the news. And I would agree with you that it's diabolical, and there is no explanation, other explanation to it. There's no political, no cultural. Of course, they all play their part, but the main source is diabolical, and this relates directly to Fatima.
Okay,
because Our Lady, if you believe all that she said, and you believe the story of Fatima, she said that if the consecration of Russia is done, you will have peace in the world. And have we seen any peace? No. We've seen wars, we've seen conflicts, we've seen all kinds of things, and we see shootings. And the shootings are going to continue until the church does what it's supposed to do. That's why this topic is so important. Because if Our Lady promised peace and the consecration of Russia was actually done, then we should see peace, or else heaven is lying to us. And that, of course, is an impossibility. So who are the liars? Well, the people that are in control of all this stuff are the liars, and that's why this topic is important. Now, Simmons, he's a Franciscan graduate from Steubenville, and of course, they're going to act as apologists for the church's failure to do the consecrations of Russia. And so what we find in Simmons' book is a whole panorama of questions that have come up about who's going to tell the truth and who's lying. And we get into some questions like, what did Cardinal Ottaviani really say in 1967? How many lines of text were there actually in the Third Secret? Was Edward Donis legit to criticize Sister Lucia? Really mundane, picayune kinds of things like that he's going to cover in his book. And the basic problem here is he tells us in the beginning of the book that he's not going to cover the most important issue of the whole Fatima revelation, and that is whether the consecration of Russia was actually done or not. He just says, I'm not going to talk about it. And I think the reason for that is because they are going to be apologists for John Paul II. And as a matter of fact, John Paul II is not even in the index of Simmons's book. He's not in the table of contents. And all we find are passing references to John Paul II in the 600 pages of Simmons's book. And yet, he's the crux of the issue. And so is the consecration of Russia, the crux of the issue. So that's why his book is so important, and that's why I bothered to write this critique.
So, folks, if you're not up on all this, what's going on with the Fatima and the secret of Fatima, and, of course, next Friday, Robert, it's really difficult to comprehend that you and I and everyone listening right now actually does live in a very extraordinarily historic times. 100 years ago, next Friday, would be the day that 70 to 80,000 people gathered in a field, Fatima, Portugal, for what was promised to them. And as Chris Ferrara says, this is an unprecedented event in the history of the world, in the history of Christianity. You know, our Lord didn't tell everybody, hey, Lama, hey, Andrew and Philip, go gather all those people. I'm going to work a miracle. Watch this. he didn't premeditate his, or, you know, promote, if you will, the fact that a miracle was about to occur. One did, but he didn't advertise it. This is the only instance in all of the history of Christianity since our Lord. You could probably argue, Robert, and you're such a theologian on this, you know more about this than I, that maybe in the Old Testament there were, well, meet me here on this day, and God said he's going to do something. And in the history of Christian church, from the birth of our Lord to 1917, it was the first time that Our Lady or any sacred figure actually said to seers, that's humans, that have been granted the grace to see things, actually said, be at this spot by this tree. She was very specific. In this field by that tree, there's a shrine there today, on Friday or on October the 13th, and I am going to perform a miracle. And of course, and maybe you can explain this, I know Chris has written about this, the miracle of the sun is not just the most fantastical, inexplicable event, astronomical event in the history of mankind. It also has varied other meanings to it. And the fact that she chose the sun as what to make a miracle of is just another one of the pieces of the puzzle, or another one of the pieces of the urgency and the animacy of the revelation that you better take this seriously, right?
Yeah, I would say so. And it's amazing to see now we have 8 popes that have come and gone since this message was given. First in 1917, and then again in 1929. 8 popes, with Francis being the 8th, who have basically ignored this spectacular message with a spectacular witness, the dancing of the sun in the sky.
Yes.
It's unfathomable that we would be this far down the line and still not have the consecration done correctly. And we can prove this quite easily. And Simmons does it himself in his book. And this is how he hangs himself. This is what he does. On page 21, he tells us that he's not going to cover the consecration of Russia. Then on page 37, what he does is he talks about Pius XII's attempted consecrations in 1942 and 1952.
Right.
And he admits that Pius XII erred on both occasions. He did not do what he was supposed to do. That's the closest we've come, basically, to some of the 8 popes doing a consecration, except for John Paul II. I'll deal with him in a second. But Simmons admits that in 1942, Pius XII consecrated the world instead of Russia. So
right.
We didn't obey what Our Lady said. And then, you know, we suffered through all the end of World War II, and then we had the Korean War, and blah, blah, blah. And so 10 years later, Our Lady came to Pius XII again and said, I'm still waiting for the consecration. So apparently, you know, he knew that she did not accept his 1942 consecration when he did a consecration of the world.
Sure.
Okay, that makes sense, doesn't it? We can add one and one and get two. Okay, so he does a consecration in May of 1952. And because Sister Lucia came to him and said, look, you know, Our Lady wants you to do this consecration. So what does he do? Well, he consecrates Russia, but he doesn't include the bishops of the world, which was one thing that was always stipulated to him, that this is what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And all he had to do, basically, was contact all the bishops, and they could do a consecration in their diocese at the same time the Pope was doing it in Rome. But that never happened, okay? So Simmons admits this in his book. But then, when it comes to John Paul II, he doesn't cover one issue concerning John Paul II's consecrations, and he did four of them, 1981, 82, 83, and 84. The grand finality was 1984.
Okay.
And what did John Paul II do? He consecrated the world instead of Russia, which was the same mistake that Pius XII had made back in 1942. But Simmons doesn't say a word about this in his book. And the reason for that is because Franciscan University, from where he graduated, is they are apologists for John Paul II, and dare you find anyone who will criticize anything that John Paul II did in his pontificate. And yet, in John Paul II's pontificate from 1979 to 2005, we didn't see any peace at all. As a matter of fact, there were 52 wars and conflicts during the 26-year pontificate of John Paul II, more than any time in world history. Okay?
Got it.
What we also saw was a deterioration in the church under the watch of John Paul II that was unprecedented in all of Christian history from the time of Christ and the Apostles to the present. Because we saw our seminaries closing, our Catholic
yep.
schools closing, our nuns going to one-fourth of what they were, priests are one-fourth of what they were back in the time of Vatican II, and so on and so on. All the orders were cut to 25% of what they were. And then on top of that, not only was the church decimated under the watch of John Paul II, we had the biggest scandal that the church has ever had to undergo in 2,000 years with a homosexual and pedophile scandal, of which John Paul II did absolutely nothing because he didn't believe it was happening. Okay? So here you have all these things happening in the pontificate of John Paul II, and no one will pay attention to it. And instead we have Francis canonizing him as a saint. Okay? This is the problem. Okay, and if Simmons admits in his book that Pius XII didn't do what he was supposed to do, how in the world could he ever come to the conclusion that John Paul II did what he was supposed to do? And so what do you do as a Catholic Franciscan apologist? You just avoid the question.
Wow, these are really, really controversial points. Let's take them one at a time. Robert Sengenis is on the Dewmaker Hotline with us, a very well-known theologian and the producer. I think you're the writer as well of Galileo Was Wrong, the series, one of the producers of the Principal movie with Rick Delano. And he's been on the show a couple times here. We're talking about The Third Secret of Fatima. Now, and by the way, you can call the show, or if you have a question, go to the chat room at MikeChurch.com. Click on Mike Church Show Live Chat. I have a question already for you, Robert. Are you ready?
I'm ready, sir.
Okay, so people want to know. They have three people now in there that are now asking the same question. All right, so ex-Mitter Sengenis, if the consecration never happened, why did Sister Lucia say that it did?
Well, here's where we have the lies come about.
Okay.
Okay. For many, many years, Sister Lucia was telling us that the consecration had not been done. Obviously, this started back with Pius XII, because after Pius XII did his consecration of the world in 1942, Sister Lucia came to him and reported that Mary told her, in 1952 that Pius hadn't done the consecration yet. And we're waiting for the consecration to be done. And the reason she's waiting for it to be done is because he didn't consecrate Russia like he was told. Okay? So the same thing has to be true for John Paul II. He didn't consecrate Russia like he was told. And, no, I'm losing my train of thought here. What was your question again?
People say that if the consecration didn't happen, why does Sister Lucia insist or say that it did?
Okay. So up until 1989, Sister Lucia had told John Paul II and everybody who would listen to her that the consecration had not been properly done. Okay? All of a sudden now, in 1989, there's supposed to be a typewritten letter from Sister Lucia, which she never does, by the way, or never did. God bless her soul. She, you know, died a few years ago. But she never used a typewriter. Okay? She always communicated by handwriting. So that's the first problem we have. This letter that she typed supposedly said, oh, John Paul II did do the proper consecration.
Okay.
All right? So, basically, somebody forged the letter, and it can be proven very easily that it's a forged letter, and everybody knows about it. And it's in our book that John Sauls and I wrote called The Consecration of Russia.
Okay.
And we have all the evidence there to show people. Okay. And then the next year, 1990, John Paul II himself put a moratorium on criticizing or questioning his 1984 consecration. That nobody could actually pose a question of whether he really did the consecration or not. He shut everybody's mouth, including Sister Lucia, and they had her, you know, she was in her convent and basically got the word from the Pope, you're not to talk about this anymore, okay? So that's what happened. What I'm saying is from the 1981 through 1989, she was saying the consecration had not been done, and all of a sudden that was changed. So that answers that question.
Okay. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. Robertson Jenness is on the Dudemaker Hotline with us. It's a new book out by an author named Kevin Simmons called On the Third Secret of Fatima. Now, why is this important? Robert's position is that, no, the consecration of Russia has not been accomplished. I think that, you know, you may have heard me talking about what does the evidence show me about Stephen Paddock. Well, the evidence shows me that this was a man that was using his intellect, that he had complete control over it. He had complete use of knowledge. He was very well prepared, and he executed a premeditated plan. Okay, what was the premeditated plan? Well, to remove as many souls who were not expecting judgment day to come from the face of the earth as was possible, and to keep removing them until such time as he was not going to be able to remove them any longer, and then to remove himself as part of the deal that I say that he must have made with Beelzebub. Now, that's what the evidence says. Now, what does the evidence say about the peace that Our Lady said would occur if the consecration had occurred? Well, as you pointed out, prima facie evidence, if you're a lawyer, says, where's the peace?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, in the article I wrote for Culture Wars, I go into this biography of John Paul II written by Stanislaw Zewitz, and he wrote the A Life with Carol, and that Carol was the Pope John Paul II's first name. And so he's going through, and he shows how disillusioned the Pope actually became because he saw no peace in the world.
Right.
And I don't know if you remember reading that part in the paper, but like when the Gulf War started in 1990,
right?
They're complaining that the President of the United States didn't call up the Pope and tell him that he was going to bomb Iraq, okay? And so that was the first slight against the Pope. And then the next year, the Bosnia-Herzegovina war broke out.
Yep.
And they're going, uh-oh, you know, where's the peace that we were looking for? You know, because what they had done is they had looked at the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 as their, tour de force to make it appear as if the consecration had an effect, okay? And then the next 2 years, we have these major wars going on, and Zewitz says about the Pope's vision is, it all seemed like an illusion to us, that there was no peace in the world. after we did all this. And then I go into the fact that, you know, it's ironic that he, when John Paul II did this consecration in 1984 and consecrated the world, he didn't see any peace immediately coming afterwards. So what does he do? Well, instead of reorganizing everybody to do a proper consecration, he comes up with this idea in the middle of the night, and Zeewitz writes about this in his book, The Life with Carol. He says, I know what we need to do. We need to get all the religions of the world together, you know, the Buddhists, the Zoroastrians, the Hindus, everybody, and we'll all pray for world peace. And that happened, as you know, in 1986. It's called the Assisi Interreligious Prayer Meetings. Now, this is just 2 years after he had done his consecration of the world that was supposed to give us the peace that Our Lady promised. And, of course, there was no peace. So, well, let's do it man's way now. Let's call all the religions of the world and ask for peace. And lo and behold, did they find peace? No. Because, as I said, in John Paul's pontificate, there were 52 major wars and conflicts, more than any time in world history. So that didn't do the trick either. And even though it didn't do the trick, he did 5 more interreligious prayer meetings in the late 80s and early 1990s, and then he had the grand finale in 2002, which was even bigger in Assisi than the first one that was done in 1986. And what was happening during that time? Well, the Twin Towers had just got demolished, and the Iraq War was still raging on,
yep.
And he's doing another Assisi prayer meeting instead of doing the consecration of Russia as he was told to do. So that's why we have all these problems.
Yeah, and I again, the evidence for the peace, as you just pointed out, does not exist. There's also another part of that promise that when this is done, that okay, you're supposed to prevent the errors of Russia. Anyone that's read the history of the Red Revolution, the Red October Revolution, and then what happened afterwards, you know, when the communists come in, of course, they're going to liberate everyone from the tyranny of the Tsar. Sure you are. One of the first things that they did was say, all right, this is a Christian basis for morality and for marriage and all that. Yeah, that's gone. And all these prohibitions against killing babies and all that stuff. Yeah, that's all gone. These errors... We live in the United States, for heaven's sakes, guys. It's not even worth debating over whether or not the errors of Russia have abated. They haven't. If anything, they're increasing. And we see this now. And I think one of the most telltale signs that some catastrophic event, is on tap as a result of the consecration was not done and Mother Mary wasn't just hanging out in heaven bored and said, I'm going to go, you know, bless these three kids, take a couple of them to heaven early and give you people a riddle to ponder for 100 years. There is a reason for this. We look around today and what do we see? What are the diabolical forces now doing? As I say often, okay, they've come for the children and they're not going to take no for an answer. You actually have an alteration in the minds of people of reality. This has to be an infestation. This mass hysteria has to be an infestation. An alteration of reality that normal parents, loving parents, who look at a child and see a tender creature that needs their protection, it needs their love, it needs their guidance, because they're children and you're an adult. What are they doing? They're saying, the world says your teacher says you want to be a sodomite? Yeah, sure, absolutely. Oh, but you're a girl, so you need a penis to do that. Ah, no problem. We can take care of that. But you're only 5? Ah, don't worry about it. They got drugs. We'll get you ready. By the time you're hitting puberty, we'll get you a Johnson. This cannot possibly be anything other than the presage, the little lead up to that catastrophic event. Maybe it is the catastrophic event that the demons have been unleashed. They've come for the children. And maybe Stephen Paddock is just one of those that, hey, you know, I think I want to take a couple of adults out for fun. 56 million children, you know, babies aborted. You know, that was all fun, fine and dandy, but why don't we have a field day with the adults? Robert, I have to do the news at the top of the hour. Our news is on tap. Can you do another segment with me? Can you hold?
I sure can.
All right. Hang on. Thank you very much. Robertson Jenis on the Dude Maker Hotline with us. We're talking about the third secret of Fatima and about the consecration of Russia that Our Lady asked for at Fatima in 1917. And Robert's contention, and I agree with him and Chris Ferrara, is that consecration did not occur. And therefore, it is very possible, maybe even likely, catastrophic events are going to unfold because of our petulant refusal to do what the mother of the Redeemer, what the mother of God, what the mother of Jesus of Nazareth told us to do, or told those three children to do, back in 1917, 100 years ago, next Friday. Folks, you're not going to want to miss the next segment. Go wake up Granny and spank her on the fanny and tell her the good news. The consecration of Russia, the third secret of Fatima, are on tap here on the Mike Church Show. I invite you to go to my website at MikeChurch.com. If you like what you're hearing today, you should sign up to become a Founders Pass member or make a donation. Even if you don't want, hey, I'm not going to join your thing, but yeah, I'll give you $5. Fine, fine. Support our independent broadcasting concern here. No one else is going to do this. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise in very, very desperate need, crisis mode need, of your membership support. Please go to crusadechannel.com and join today. You can also shop in our on-demand store for great episodes like this one with Robertson Jenis that will be available on demand. So if you don't want to be a member, we have lots of stuff for you to listen to that you can purchase a la carte. You can sign up at crusadechannel.com. And if you're on the fence, I'll give you a 30-day free membership. No credit card needed. Send me an email, kingdude@mikechurch.com.